life will never be the same. Oh, there's only one way to touch Him. You must believe. One more time, amen. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only touch Him. And you just believe when you call on His name.
Amen. Let's sing Bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Page 130. Amen. Come on up, Sister Mel.
Yes, Lord.
Good morning, buddy.
Yes, Lord.
I'm just so full this morning, and I know it's because our pastor and Brother Doug are back.
Amen.
It just really hit me this morning that it just feels so good for them to be home.
Amen.
And safe and in this body.
Amen.
And one thing I thought about while you all were away is just how big this message really is.
Right.
And this is the first time we've been able, talk to the pastor, to see the services overseas. And it's just beautiful to know that we sent our pastor out of the country to deliver this message. It was phenomenal. And I felt like I was binging a movie. I wanted to binge every service so I would know. I don't want to miss a thing. I can't tell you everything that happened, but the messages just hit me in a different way. It was just like I was so proud to be part of this body and this message. because God thought about me before the foundation of all of this. And it just makes me proud to say that I'm part of this bride. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Page 130, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. I wanted to just take a quick second and wanted to, you know, like Sister Renee said, Mel said, we're happy that they're back. You know, our brothers are back. Let's give them a round of applause.
Amen.
And we know they went out there and they fought the good fight, kept the faith, and made it home. So we're grateful for that. We're appreciative of it. But this morning, we want to take a minute and celebrate the people that we say sacrifice the most, their wives. Sister Renee and Sister Clarice, if you can come up here. And I appreciate you guys. the church has put together some flowers. You know, we used to always say give flowers while they're living, and we appreciate what you guys have done and the sacrifices you guys have made. So we got some cards for you there, and then we got some flowers coming to you guys, but we're just very, 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 very grateful. You know, oh, they got flowers for you, Sister Renee. Hold on 1 second. Here they come on out there. Yeah, no, we got, and there's more. You know, one of the times Pastor Moore even said it, he said, you know, if you, want to thank me for any of the sacrifices, thank my wife too. If you give me, he said, if you give me 12 flowers, give her 6, you know, because it was a part that she had to play to be able to get him to do his part. So we recognize that sacrifice and want to appreciate you guys and just thank you for everything. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. And I know you don't have to be quiet. I thought you had something.
Just remind them what is in there is a gift card for you to take your husband's out to enjoy a nice meal by yourself.
Yeah. There's a gift card in there to take them out by yourself. So there's a key point there. Take them out by yourself.
Go ahead, sis.
No.
You go ahead, Sister Renee.
I just wanted to say I did nothing. I mean, you guys are the ones that did the sacrifice. I'm just, like Sister Melanie said, I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
Amen. God bless you.
You know, it's very hard to come to a place in an hour like this and be silent. And first of all, I want to thank all of you guys for this. And I want to give honor to God for bringing me to this message through this great man. Here's what I was thinking, y'all. I was laying in bed the other night thinking, you know, when it gets quiet, you don't have no distractions. You know, back in the day, you said, when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, I wish I could have been here. I would have done this for him and done that for him. I have a golden opportunity to give God the praise now.
Yes. Right.
And so my goal is the same kind of sacrifice, the same kind of abandon I bring to the service. Oh, hallelujah. Every day, God is no more with me at home than he is here. Amen. And no matter where I go, it's his worship, and that's what I'm after. And is that okay for us to play a song?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay, praise him. Come on, Seth. Yeah. You know, God is mighty, mighty good.
Amen.
If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you might as well to get to go.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Their comment. I wanted to stand up and give a round of applause to Moore and Brother Doug.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Great man, great man.
Amen.
Great man.
I thought so. You know, I just want to thank God for just being God in my life. And, you know, I have no complaints. You know, I just thank him for where I came from,
yes,
where I am right now,
yes,
and what he's doing in my life, and where I'm going. And I'm blessed to be here. I can just look at the changes and the positive changes, and I'm just so grateful. And on that note, I want to talk about this real quick.
Take your time.
I thank my husband. You know, he took the time yesterday to drive me all the way to Michigan to go to Flute World. I've been dying to get there. And I was able to try out some flutes, and this is one of them. It's a step up intermediate flute. And it's amazing. I was like, I was like a kid in a candy store. I was so giddy. I was just so happy. Even though this is a trial flute, they let me take home 3. And I thought, oh, gosh, this is precious stuff here because they're worth a lot of money. And I thought, oh, gosh, if something happened to this, I would be paying for it for forever. But I was able to get this. And there's so much gadgets and gadgets on this. I don't even know how to work. But the sound is beautiful, and even though you may not be able to hear the difference, I can. And also, I had another appointment, but the man wasn't able to make it. And he called me, and he said, you know what? I feel so bad you know, I'm going to send you 5 flutes to try. You know, wow. So I will be getting those next week, different flutes, to see which one fits me. And whatever. Probably have to finance it because these things are expensive, but I love it. And hopefully, you know, this song will bless you all.
So. You know, it's so funny that God, the way he works, he I thank God for this little sister. She is a big blessing to me. Now I'm like a kid. I need somebody to play with. And what better time than give God praise? If you have any talents, if you have anything, young people, give it to God. Give it to God. There's nothing better you can do.
April 29th, Saturday, 9 a.m., we're going to do some fellowship back in the back of the brothers. So don't forget that. And then May 6th, 9 a.m., thank you. And then following Saturday, the sisters are getting together at the main house at 10 a.m. So keep those things in mind. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate that. Yes, come on up, Sister Dawn. Amen. Amen.
Very happy to have our brothers home.
Amen.
And I want to thank Brother Praveen, too, because it was such a blessing again to hear those messages.
Yes.
And I just want to come and relax and just let God have his way, you know, because I was thinking we all have a job to do. And I went to Indiana, and I was with my sister at a cancer institute. And I was thinking about the will of God. The will of God, it's going to happen regardless. And I thank God for that knowledge and to know that he He has his way, and he has the things he has to do, and he has a job to do. And I was thinking, I was there, and there was a young girl. She said, I know you. And I said, I have one of those faces. Everyone tells me that. And she said, no, I know you. And I said, well, she said, what's your name? I said, Dawn Brinkman. She said, did you used to be a baker? I said, I did. And she told me who she was, and she was fighting lung cancer. And she gave me her information to touch base with her. And she just cried, and she kissed my hand, and she recognized God. And then when I texted her, she just said, you don't know what meeting you again meant to me. We used to come to your church. I went to so many different churches, and nothing ever felt like that. But when you walked in the door and I recognized you, she said, that whole thing filled me back up again. And I'd been asking God for a sign. Am I okay? Because I've had a hard life. I said, oh, you're okay. I said, you've loved the right thing. You recognize God. And if he ever puts a part of himself in there, you'll never go wrong. Nothing. Amen. Nothing you can do from A to B will, you know. And I thought about how you drew that circle bigger for all the people and how that we are out there gleaning. And I thought, I had to go to that institute for her.
Right.
You know, I went for my sister, but I had to go for her.
Amen.
There was a soul crying out to God. And I thank God for knowing who I am.
Amen.
What job we have to do in this hour. And I appreciate this place more than I could ever express it. And I don't know what key I sing that in, but I know that I know I am nothing. I'll come over here. I know that I know I am nothing, and yet I am something indeed. I've been born by the Word of God. It's the pure, incorruptible seed. You want to put me in something easier? And I know that I know I'm eternal. Oh, I've always been a part of my God. His word I'll stand on and live by each day, because it's written on the tables of my heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. I was going to grab the offering, but since I got the mic, I'll go ahead and testify.
Amen.
I thank God for this truth,
Amen.
being here.
Yeah.
Because there's no greater place to be than here.
Right.
And all the storms in life to go through, everything that you have to go through in this world, whatever it may be, it's so much easier to go through when you have the Word.
Amen.
There's no other help better than that. Absolutely none. Because it's the rock. It keeps you. It helps you through things. You see things. And the thing comes upon this, it says, this too shall pass. And that's the beauty of it all, is that you know that this will eventually fade away. And I'm so glad that we have a part, not just our things that we're going through, is that we have a part out here to collect all our gems.
That's right.
And that's a blessing. It really is. God gave us that. He gave us our people that we see. That's our rewards.
Amen.
Our rewards are the people that we see meet, that do good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so glad that we're a part of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you both.
Another announcement. Remember, this Thursday we're going to have the young people practice on Thursday at 7 when we do our musicians practice. We'll practice with the young people, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll sing page 95, key of G, I Need Thee. And we'll get him up. I'm looking forward to Pastor Moore taking the mic. Yeah. Been a long time since I've been able to say that.
Amen.
Father, we're so grateful this morning to be back into the house of God. I ask you to come through this place this morning and speak to our hearts. You know, our longing is to be more like you. And the only way that we could be more like you is to be more like your word. So as we've opened the word up here this morning, we ask you to use it to make us more like thee. Draw us closer to you. I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. Ask you to be with us today. Touch those around the world that love your truth. Touch those that are needy of a touch from you in their body. Be with us today. Bless your bride. Thank you for a place to come to worship you. Thank you for a desire to want to worship you. Oh, bless us now. We've come here for that. Lord, the word is laying here. Now speak to our hearts today. Let the picture be clear before us on what it is that you're wanting to display. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Caught a little bit of a head cold while I was in the Philippines, so that's why I probably sound a little stopped up, because I am. But that's okay. It's good to be back home again. It's good to be amongst the believers here in Fairborn. And, you know, I'm going to, what my plan is I've got some pictures that I've taken home, and I put a PowerPoint presentation basically together, and we'll go over that tonight. And you'll be able to see the pictures and things that I have. Now, Doug has his own camera and his own pictures. If he wants to bring anything, he can do that. But it's from where my perspective was, where I was sitting. So it's good to be able to share. Good to be here. Lord blessed on the trip. We had a good trip.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for Doug and Praveen to be able to get that back to us. And that's about as live as you can get it. I've been to the Philippines when you brought nothing back. I've been to the Philippines when we brought cassettes back. I've been to the Philippines where we brought VCRs back. I've been to the Philippines where we brought CDs back. And now we've got a camera that puts it right on the internet, right live. So, you know, we're moving with technology. So before I get started, I'm going to give Doug a few minutes to tell you whatever he wants to say. And like I said, we'll go into the trip tonight, but just, I appreciate Doug going. He's a big help. And it wouldn't have been the same had he not been there. So Brother Doug, there you go. God bless you, sir.
Amen. I put together a summary. I had about, I don't know, four whole pages of notes and stuff, and I won't get into all the detail this morning just because I'm here to hear the word as well. But we started off on the third. The journey over there was about 30 to 31 hours, so it was interesting, to say the least. But we had great seats on the way over. We were able to get some rest and stuff. And Brother Moore, I mean, he just hit the ground running. It was unbelievable. So we started Wednesday morning. You know, they had breakfast. Sister Alma and Brother June, I couldn't say enough about the hospitality and the love that they shown us. Same with Brother Victor and Sister Vicky. I mean, they made you feel right at home. They really did. I couldn't thank them enough for making the journey easier for us. I thought I'd go over and lose a little bit of weight. I think I gained a little bit. Because we were so well cared for. It was amazing. So on Wednesday, we had breakfast, and then we went over to Brother June's campsite. He has a vision of putting together a campsite for the Philippine bride to have fellowship and services there. We got to see a little bit of the construction, the wall, and some of the pillars that had already gone up. Sister Alma sent me some pictures. They're already doing some of the excavating and construction for the campsite. That was pretty cool. Got to eat fresh jackfruit. If you guys get a chance, look it up. It's very, very sweet fruit. We got fresh mango. Mm-hmm. Brother Moore, they got these coconuts, you know, and the guy had like a big machete, and he would like whack it and break and whack and break until he got down to the coconut himself, and Brother Moore was drinking the coconut water straight from the coconut. So it doesn't get any fresher than that. Brother Moore, I don't want to take too much of your time. Any detail that you want to add to, you've got the mic on. If there's a memory you want to share.
No, you're going to do a whole lot better than I would.
Okay. And then on Thursday, the 6th, Brother Moore preached at Brother June's. It was ministers only. I'm guessing 10, 12 pastors was there. And directly after, there were questions and answers. Brother Moore preached on living in the day of the Son of Man. There was questions and answers maybe three and a half hours after that. So very, very interesting to see, you know, the anointing, how God uses pastor in that role. The the second, I think about the second questions and answers, you know, I talked to Brother Moore afterwards. I said, hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. He's like, uh-oh, what did I do? And I'm like, no, you didn't do nothing wrong. I said, I see what God's doing here. You know, number one, the word is the priority. That's number one. But if there was a theme, it was reuniting the bride in the Philippines. That would be a theme for the trip, is what I seen. Thursday morning, like I said, questions and answers. And then afterwards, it was, I'll call it a surprise. A surprise sermon. Brother June said, hey, he says, you know, we got some young people getting together over at the campsite, and we're going to go over, and if you could just say something encouraging. Well, we get over there, and it's at a high school. I don't remember the name of the high school, but it's a big pavilion, and there's several hundred young adults there, you know, anywhere from, I'm guessing, 14 to 18, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, several hundred, you know. This is a big gathering, you know. So they're like, okay, Brother Moore, come up, say something, you know. You're going to preach, you know. And so the very first service, it was about, I don't know, half hour, 35 minutes, something like that. So if you hear that, that was God moving, talking to the young people, you know, talking about claiming your possession, I think was the title. So just beautiful services. And you know, you see a lot of young people come up and talk to Brother Moore afterwards that, you know, thank you for that message. Thank you giving me some direction in life. Did everybody get a chance to listen to that service? It was beautiful. He was talking a little bit about his own walk, and very, very encouraging. Then on Good Friday, Pastor Moore preached to the whole congregation. There was multiple churches. We were all gathered at this high school, and I'd hate to put a number on how many people were there, you know, maybe 1,000, maybe more. I really don't know. Brother Moore spoke on the foreknowledge of God. I think everybody got to listen to that. And after every service, you know, people just, you know, ask questions. You know, you can see them come one at a time. And Brother Moore did his job to answer each and every one with such love and patience, you know. If you ever get a chance to go out, I would highly recommend you see that side of Brother Moore, how God uses him in that way. Easter Sunday morning, he preached at Brother June's church. It is the rising of the sun. Sunday evening, he preached at Brother Al's church. Brother Al is now the pastor. He took over for Brother Yap when Brother Yap moved on to the other side. So just beautiful services. He spoke recognizing God / a personal revelation. Monday, we flew from Manila to Legazpi, and then we traveled from Legazpi about an hour was northwest up to LIGO City. That's to Brother Victor's. And Brother Victor was outside the hotel area to greet us, so that was pretty cool. I hadn't seen Victor in probably 20, maybe longer years. Last time I had seen him, he was here at the church. Everybody remembers, some of the older people, I shouldn't say everybody remembers, but some of the older people, they remember Brother Victor would sleep at the church, you know, and working for Brother Childers, and still Brother Victor. He's still loaded. He's still loaded, yes. but we had a really good time there as well. Many pastors in attendance there as well. I don't know how many. I would guess at least 12, maybe 15. I hate to put a number on it, you know, but they're all representing their own churches. It was good to see. I met Brother June Pasito. Him and his brothers, they had been separated for so many years. Like I said, the reuniting of the bride, you know, you could see how God was moving in not only in natural brothers' lives, but spiritual brothers as well, to reunite those people in the Philippines. And then Tuesday afternoon, the second sermon, Brother Moore preached God in Simplicity. You know, if you got a chance to listen to both, the dynamics, and then God in simplicity, a different anointing for each of those services. Very, very powerful. The questions and answers afterwards. Brother Victor has a fairly new church. He's got like a living quarters there. But up above, they had like these wooden structures, and they had like tarps over. And the fellowship was all there. Had a nice, cool breeze. And they fed us. I mean, it was amazing. They fed us like kings for sure. The journey back, we started back early Thursday morning. We flew back to Manila from Legazpi Wednesday, and then we hung out with Brother June and Sister Alma the rest of the day, just kind of getting a little bit of downtime before we started traveling home. And then got up early Thursday. Brother June took us to the airport, and we started our journey home. And we got back in Dayton about, I think it was about 8 o'clock that night, something like that. So, Brother Moore, anything you want to add to? Or
you did better than I would have.
Yeah. I really enjoyed my trip, you know, seeing Brother Moore. It's a different role as an evangelist. And, you know, he's also a seasoned pastor, you know, that he's giving direction to other pastors, you know. And, you know, he says he didn't take anything over there that he hadn't, you know, learned here from the ministry and stuff. And, you know, he talked about water in and now water going out. Brother June's testimony was he's seen the reuniting already happening here in the States, you know, with Brother Moore having different ministers in and the fellowship and the worship together. He said that spread over into the Philippines. Another testimony, I don't remember the brother's name, but this was a pastor's testimony at Brother Victor's church, and I'll paraphrase it the best I can. He said, years ago, he said, when we were at war, he said the Americans came and they dropped a bomb at Hiroshima, I think is how you pronounce it, and that ended the war. He said, Brother Moore, you came to the Philippines and you dropped the bomb, the word, here in the Philippines. And he says all the war has stopped here in the Philippines, and now they can fellowship and you know, enjoy the word of God together. So amen. God bless you.
That's why somebody else has to go, because y'all know I give you the cut and dirty of it. I told you all I had when I got up. But I appreciate Doug going with us, and God did move, and there was a lot of activity, a lot of things happening, and we were busy from day one all the way till we left. So it was a good trip, and I'm glad we were able to go. You know, the key is, you know, people are separating over doctrine, and it really struck home to the brothers there. Brother Branham said, have the right spirit. And I think Brother June, he hadn't been with his brothers for at least 15 years or maybe 20 years. It's been a long time. They had separated because of the message. And he told him 6 months ago, God told him to get with your brothers. And I was really shocked when I walked up to Brother Victor's in June. Pasito was the first one that met me, and he introduced himself to me like I wouldn't know who he is, but I knew exactly who he was because he's been my friend for all this time. And so it was good to see him get back with not only his brothers, but with all the brothers. And he said that he was leaving there from the meeting going back to his church. He said, I cannot wait to get there Sunday to preach this to my congregation. And so did June. Pardillo said the same thing. He said, I can't wait till Sunday. He said, well, I'm starting some things all over. We're going to do some things differently. They're going to show a different attitude and a different spirit, so they're not fighting each other in the Philippines, but they can rally around the Word of God. I think June said they had like 95% same doctrine, and they fuss and fight and separate over the 5%. And I told him, I said, Brother Brown said, there's only one evidence. It's recognizing your day and its message. And I had two brothers sitting next to each other, and it was funny because we were at a minister's meeting, and I didn't know this, but I guess two of the brothers had been fighting over the internet the week before. And they were both sitting there. And one was saying, he was confessing. He said, I was fighting you, brother. He said, I've been fighting you, and we were going back and forth, and I was going at you, and you were going at me. And he apologized. He said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And then Brother June Cardelio spoke up. He said, I'd like to apologize, too. He said, because I saw the argument going on, and I blocked you. He said, I'm sorry that I blocked you. I shouldn't have. He said, I just didn't want it to be out there where my people could see it. But they're all looking at it a little different, and that's worth everything if they could do that. Because if you're going to go in a rapture, how are you going to get along up there if you can't get along down here? And so I think that if it's time for the wars to be over, I thank God for that. Because, you know, it's God's timing on everything. That's what the scripture says, it's time to die, time to live, time for, there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a season, there's a time and a place. And I think it's time for the bride to stop being so petty. We've been petty for 60 years and not gotten any better, not gotten any closer, not closer to the rapture for 60 years, fussing and fighting. I'm not going to do it. So it was good to go. It's good to be back. We're still trying to get adjusted to the time period, and it takes about a week for you to get acclimated. So we were there just long enough to get acclimated. So now it's going to take a week to get unacclimated. But it's good to be back, and that we, Lord blessed, I did not lose my voice until that last day. The last day after the preaching was done and there was nothing left to do but traveling, I woke up with a cold. That's what I have now. I'm getting rid of it now. But I woke up with a cold, and it's thank God it didn't happen while we're in the middle of the meetings, because it would have affected the services, and I didn't want that to happen. So your prayers, thank you for your prayers while we were away, and it's good to be back home. Now, I want to go over here and read a scripture this morning. Got a thought on my mind, my heart, that I want to share, and I've been getting, you know, I don't know, it seems like things get clearer and clearer to me as I walk through this life, and I try to make it clear to you, because if I see it clearly and I can break it down to you, then you'll see it clearly. I've been talking on the last few weeks on some things that's really been sticking clearly with me, and I don't know if it's registering to anybody else, but it's registering with me. So I want to go over here to St. John chapter 14 and read here a few verses. We want to read chapter 14, starting at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. These are Jesus' words to us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but my Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures that are laid before us. So grateful for these promises that are laying in the word and that we can read here this morning and still believe in them, knowing that you told us this 2,000 years ago, and it's just as real today as it's ever been. And Lord, you're with us, you're in us, you're walking with us, you're revealing yourself to us. You've given us the Holy Ghost for that purpose. And Father, we're so grateful this morning to say that we're one of them. Take this word and Lord, let it be clear to the people. Move all of the cloudiness and the misunderstandings out of the way so that we can clearly see your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The other morning I woke up and this title came to my mind. And if you want to title this message this morning, What the Holy Ghost Was Given For. And that took my mind back to a message Brother Branham preached on this subject. And it was preached in 1959. I went back and I listened to it. But the thought that I had from this message is that we really need to understand what the Holy Ghost is given for. And the last couple of weeks, I've seen clearer. Now, I've already known what it was for, but I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I've seen clearer the role of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what its purpose was. Yes. And how it works and what it's doing, clearer than I ever have. Right. And to me, going back to the scripture reading and looking at what Jesus said, he said he's going to bring us another comforter. And I was thinking about the Holy Ghost itself, because people talk about the Holy Ghost, but they don't know what it is. Right. They don't know what it does. Right. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. Amen. It's the quickening power of God. Right. And the only thing that the Holy Ghost is going to quicken is the Word of God. Amen. And so the role of the Holy Ghost on the true believer cannot be overemphasized. Right. Without the Holy Ghost, you have nothing. You may have the doctrines, you may have the Bible, you may have the scripture, but you need the quickening of the scripture to make it live. Amen. It's no wonder people fall away from the Word of God, because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They have a lot of knowledge, and I see this more clear than I have ever seen it. People can talk about the scriptures, they can read the scriptures, they can quote the scriptures, but there is no quickening power in them to make the scriptures live out through them. Amen. The only way the scriptures will live out through you is if the Holy Ghost is in there. Amen. That's the only time it counts. If I don't even care if you live out the scriptures by the letter. If the Holy Ghost is not in there, you're still not living according to the scripture. Amen. Because there's a lot of people who have the scripture and they know that thou shalt not steal, so they don't steal. Yeah. But they don't steal not because they have the Holy Ghost. No. They don't steal because they can read it and they don't do it because the law says. Right. And see, people don't understand that when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, it gets in there and it quickens the Word of God to you and you become the living Word of God. Right. I mean, that's more clear to me than it's ever been. When I was talking the other week about the church ages and it reversed on me. It may not have done it on you, but on me it reversed things, because I looked at the church ages and I was thinking, well, these are the ones that were, these are the ones that weren't, these are the people, this many were saved, these many weren't, and I had it all messed up. But then he said, no, those aren't people. See, when I was talking to y'all, I was talking to me. Those aren't people. That's the amount of the word that the Holy Ghost could work with. Right. And that changed the whole story. Amen. That changed the whole picture. Yeah. That changed the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost being in your life. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is the quickener of the word. Amen. So God has to bring you the word, but then the Holy Ghost has to quicken the word. You can't just take the word because it's the letter and think you've got the letter and you know what it means. That's why people leave the church. That's right. Okay. Because they have the letter, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is the quickening power of the Word. Amen. Wow. Amen. Oh, it's clearer to me now than it's ever been. And I went back over to St. John 14 and read that. He says, I pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. The rest of the world cannot receive what we receive because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, they can come to the house of God. They can sit in these benches. They can learn the scriptures. You can learn the letter. But the Bible tells me the letter killeth. If the Holy Ghost doesn't affect you, or if it doesn't hit you, you can't even do anything about it. They come to the house of God. They get enough word of God to be dangerous. They get enough letter to be dangerous. But they never have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They never get the Holy Ghost in their life. Get the Holy Ghost in your life, and you will be the manifester word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
People worry about the doctrines. They worry about the word. They worry about the letter. They worry about coming to church. They worry about being in a church. But you can be in a church and not have the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost will manifest the word for your day. The Holy Ghost isn't going to make you do it. The Holy Ghost is going to reveal it unto you. And then you'll do it because the Holy Ghost has showed the word to you.
Amen.
The world can't do this because the world don't have the Holy Ghost. The world can't see this because the world doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Only way that you will really be able to see this is if God personally reveals it to you.
Amen.
What is the Holy Ghost given for? It's to give us a clear understanding of our role, our job that we're supposed to do on this side. You say, oh, we've talked about the Holy Ghost all these years. We know about the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't even know. We're just getting started on this thing. You don't understand that the Holy Ghost is the quickening power of God. You said that. I'm saying it again because you don't understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is the quickening power of God.
Amen.
If you have the power, it's because God's quickened his word to you. See, the word is what gets quickened. The word is what comes to pass. The word is what manifests. But the word gets manifested because the Holy Ghost moves in there and quickens it unto you.
Right.
I don't know about you, but it's clearer to me. I've had the Holy Ghost for a long time, but I feel like I'm just finding out what his role is. I feel like I'm just beginning to understand how the Holy Ghost works in my life. People think the Holy Ghost is coming to do something. All the Holy Ghost does is quicken the word. And when you become the word, it's because the word is manifesting itself out through you.
Right.
The world cannot manifest the word because it's not quickened to them. They'll even do the right things. They'll do the same things. They'll do what the believers will do because they say you can read it in the Bible. You're supposed to be nice. Why? The Bible said so. You're supposed to love your enemy. Why? Because the Bible says so. But it's more than just because the Bible says so. It's got to be a living, moving part of your life. The Holy Ghost has got to take this Bible and quicken it personally unto you. And when that happens, everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
That becomes him. See, we're trying to do this thing by the letter. We're trying to do this thing by education. We're trying to do this thing because we know if we act a certain way, then we will be accepted as a believer. But that's not what it's about. It's not even about being accepted as a believer. It's about having the Holy Ghost reveal the word of your day to you. And when the light shines on you, you become that word. That's why I said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the church ages, it turned me on because I could see I was looking at it a little crooked. I was looking at it as a little bit different than really what it is. It wasn't that they got away from the word. It's just that's the Holy Ghost quickening the word for their day. That's all that was required. You can't be required anything more than what the Holy Ghost quickens to you. That's why if you only get one revelation, you got enough to go in the rapture. God's not requiring you to know this whole message. God's only requiring you to take what he believed and what he brought to you and let it quicken to your life. And the proof that it's quickened to your life is you and that word become one.
Amen.
You can't tell me I'm not the word because I'm manifesting the word. And the only one that can do that is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can't even manifest the word until the Holy Ghost quickens it to you. You'll see him. Wherever he picks his head, points his head up, you'll find him. Because he'll match the word of God.
Amen.
That's why I don't have to wonder if people walk away from the word of God if they have the Holy Ghost. No, they don't have the Holy Ghost. I don't have to question that. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, that comforter is going to lead and guide you into all truth.
Amen.
He said the world will not be able to see this.
That's right.
That's why it's not transferable.
Right.
This is not transferable. I can't give you the Holy Ghost.
No.
I can't give you a revelation.
No.
I can't save your family. I can't do. You must be born again on your own.
Amen.
It's an individual relationship between you and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And nobody knows that but you.
Amen.
And the very proof that has happened to you is that your life will line up with the Word of God.
Right.
And your life will line with the Word of God because the Holy Ghost will reveal to you what your life is.
Amen.
That's how it works. If all that's available is a little light for your age, the Holy Ghost will quicken that little light for your age. And the Holy Ghost won't even worry about the rest of the Word.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
That's why Luther was a Trinitarian and was still the bride.
That's right.
You say, how can he be a Trinitarian? He had the word wrong. It wasn't required of him to have all the word right.
That's right.
All he needed was the just shall live by faith.
Right.
That's all the word God required the Holy Ghost to quicken to them in their day. That was it.
Little required.
If you don't know a lot, it's not required of you.
That's right.
Too much given. Because the Holy Ghost will require more out of you. The Holy Ghost is going to do more out of you than he did out of Luther. The Holy Ghost will do more out of you than he did out of Wesley. Because he revealed more word to you. God can only quicken the word that's available. And he's going to quicken the word by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost and God are working together in this. The Holy Ghost is going to quicken everything that God gives you.
That's right.
And if you're in Luther's age, all he's going to have is one little thing.
Yes.
Holy Ghost, as soon as the word comes forth for that hour, the Holy Ghost jumps on that.
Amen.
And he's done it in every age. He's done it in every age.
Right.
That is the job of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you that other comforter. And when I leave, he's going to come and you'll see me.
Right.
You'll be able to see me. In other words, to see is to understand.
Yes.
When the Holy Ghost comes, he gives you an understanding.
Yes.
And we know.
Amen.
And we understand.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost's whole job is coming and revealing the word that's allotted for your day.
Yes.
Thank God that he's here today because we got all the fullness of the word
Amen.
That we have to have revealed to us.
Right.
And if we have the whole word here, the Holy Ghost will give us the whole word.
Yes. Right.
Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but ye shall see me because I live, ye shall live also. How are you going to live? By the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is going to take the word for your day and show it unto you.
Right.
That's why you can't live in yesterday's shadow.
Right.
That's why you can't live in yesterday's manna. That's why you can't have an old work with God. You got to move as God moves. You got to move as the light moves. As the Holy Ghost moves, you got to move. As the Holy Ghost moves, you will move. You will move. I don't have to wonder, well, will I do this? Oh, yes, you will. Because the Holy Ghost is going to quicken the full word to you. And people, you say, well, how can people have the full word revealed to them and they walk away? They just had head knowledge. The Holy Ghost didn't quicken it. Because when the Holy Ghost quickens the word to you, it becomes your life. You become the living, moving, breathing word of God. You become one with him. And the oneness is that you are actually fulfilling the word of God that God had ordained for the hour that you're living in. There's your oneness. When you see me, you see the Father. Jesus was walking around here fulfilling the will of the Father, and they act like they didn't know who he was. And they asked him, sir, show us the Father that will satisfy us. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. My very life is the quickened word of God right before your eyes. In the hour that we're living in now, when you see me, you see the Father, because I am the very quickened word of life right now in the hour that we're living in. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. It was come to move in you. It was come to quicken the word to you. It's come to show you who you are. He said, Jesus said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You say, well, it's hard to keep his word. No, it's not. It's not hard to keep his word. It's not hard for me to be Nate. I can't be nobody else. It's not hard to be the word. If you are the word, then that's who you are. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to serve God. It's not hard to love your neighbor. It's not hard to love your enemies. See, people made it hard because they're trying to do it by intellect. They're trying to legislate the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is not a legislated piece of goods that you can have. The Holy Ghost is the movement of God's quickening power to you. And the reason it's the quickening power is because when the Word of God comes across the believer, the Holy Ghost quickens it to you.
Amen.
And then your very life becomes what he has quickened.
Amen.
Brother Don just said quicken is to be made alive.
Yes.
Living, moving, manifestation.
Yes. Amen.
And that's not hard.
No.
And when it's made alive, it's not hard. It's not hard to be alive.
No.
Just doing it. When you smack that little baby when he's first born on his bottom. You don't have to teach it how to be alive. It's just because of who he is.
Amen.
And when the Holy Ghost comes, he will lead and guide you.
Yes.
He will walk with you.
Yes.
He will direct your footsteps.
Amen.
He's going to direct every day of your life.
Yes.
He becomes you and you become him.
Right.
And it's not you trying to do this. God is revealing the part of the word that he wants you to manifest. Every time he wants you to manifest a part of the word, he reveals it to you.
Amen.
He's done it down through the ages.
Yeah.
He's done it with every other group. Why would the Holy Ghost do any different than us?
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
He that loveth me not won't keep his saying.
No.
They can't.
They can't.
It's not in them.
No.
They'll last so long because they can. You can call somebody by the law to do the right thing. As long as you got the law on them, they'll do the right thing. And you don't even have to have the Holy Ghost to do that. Our kids do what we tell them to do. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They do it because you told them to do it. They do it because you made them do it. They do it because if they don't do it, they're in trouble. That's not the way the Holy Ghost works. The Holy Ghost is the quickener of the word.
Amen.
When the word comes forth, the Holy Ghost takes a mind and show it, reveals it unto you.
Amen.
And when you and the word become one, then when you see you, you see the word.
Amen.
It's just that simple.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is here to quicken the word of God.
Right.
It's quick. It's quick in the word all the way through.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow.
Brother Branham said, did you notice that Jesus said that the world could not receive the Holy Ghost? Well, in this verse I just read, neither can they receive the word. Why? Because the Spirit and the word are one.
Wow.
And if you have the Holy Spirit as the prophets, the word will come to you and you will receive it. No questions, no ifs, no ands. The Holy Ghost is here,
Amen.
And when the word comes forth, his whole job is to put it to life in your life.
Amen.
And when the people see you, they see the word manifesting.
Yes. Right.
They see the fullness. In this hour, they should see the fullness of God made flesh in his bride. because the Holy Ghost is here to fulfill the fullness. Listen to what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book. He said, I want you to note very carefully that Jesus did not say the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying, or shouting and dancing. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth. You would be in the Word of God for your age. Amen. Evidence has to do with receiving the Word. So you got to understand this, church. What I'm excited about is that I'm looking at the church ages, and I'm looking how God allotted His Word for every age. Right. Then He sends the Holy Ghost to quicken that Word for that age. Right. And the people of that age manifested the Word for their age. That's how easy it works. That's what the Holy Ghost is here to do. Quicken the Word for your age. Remember, God had a threefold purpose in John 14. At that day ye shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's the purpose of God. That's all He's ever wanted to do. It's all He ever wanted to manifest. It wanted to be one with man. And the only way He can be one with man is by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost is why Jesus had to die for us, so that we can receive the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah.
Without it, you can't go. Without it, you can't see Him. Without it, you can't understand Him. Without it, you can't stay with the Word. Without it, you'll get off the Word. Without it, you'll walk out the door. Without it, you'll hate what God loves. Without it, you cannot be born again. Without it, you can't be in the rapture. Without it, you can't get a body change. Without it, God can't quicken His Word to you. The Holy Ghost means everything.
Yes, sir.
At that day, ye should know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. There's a real oneness there.
Right.
All that God was, He poured into Christ.
Right.
And all that Christ was, He poured into the bride.
Amen.
Brother Branham said He expressing Himself. That's His purpose. That's what He did. That's the second fold of His threefold manifestation. First, to express Himself in Christ, then express Himself through the church. And that same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. How's the Word go through you? It lives out through you. You fulfill the Scripture today. See, the Holy Ghost's job is not to make you do anything. People think the Holy Ghost makes me do something. The Holy Ghost, He quickens the Word to you. And when the Word gets quickened to you, you, matter of fact, you automatically will manifest it, because that's who you are.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Branham said, if I had the spirit of Dillinger in me, I'd carry God.
Yeah.
If you got the life, if you got the spirit of Christ in you, you're going to manifest Christ.
Amen.
It has nothing about being, we are not forcing anybody to do anything anymore.
No, sir.
The days of forced relationship with Jesus Christ are over.
Amen.
If you don't want this,
Amen.
It doesn't want you.
That's right.
Amen. If you don't want the Holy Ghost don't want you.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't have to have all of it. In the hour that living in, that we're living in, you have to have every word.
Amen.
The Bible says every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And in this hour, God's Word fulfilled every bit of it. The fullness of the Word is here. The mouth of God is here. And you have to accept every bit of it, or you can't have none of it.
Amen.
You say, I believe in the Holy Ghost, but I don't want to believe the whole message. Then you can't have none of it. When Luther was here, you had to have everything Luther had. When Wesley was here, you had to have everything Wesley had. When Pentecostal came, you had to have all the gifts that Pentecostal had. And the bride, in the hour that we're living in the fullness, she will have every word. Every word. Because the Holy Ghost is here to quicken every word to us. Without controversy, one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Timothy 3:16. It's not even something to argue about. Not even something to debate about. I wouldn't even debate you. You say, I don't want to go to your church anymore. I wouldn't even debate you.
You say, I don't love this anymore. I won't even debate you. You say, you're talking about Brother Brown too much. I don't even debate you. The Holy Ghost ain't dealing with you. It's as simple as that. Because if the Holy Ghost was dealing with you in this hour, you'll be here. If the Holy Ghost was dealing with you in this hour, you'll be right where the word is. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Right in the fountain of God's mouth. It's always been God. He's always been the one doing this. And what I'm seeing now more than ever before is that this whole church age plan was all God.
Yeah.
It was all God.
Yeah.
Satan didn't sneak in there.
No, no, no.
God purposely allowed the church to go in. So he held back some revelation.
That's right.
Devil can't knock out revelation.
No.
God has to hold it back. He's got to hold back light. Satan, darkness don't put out light.
No, sir.
He only takes what God leaves him.
Right.
When God pulled his light back in the church ages, Satan moved in with his ideas and his thinking. But Satan never had this. Satan never knew what was going on. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even aware of the church ages. He didn't even know who the messengers were. He didn't know who the messengers were. He didn't know nothing about it. All he was doing is groping in darkness, trying to figure out how he could just mess up God's plan. But the whole time it was God all alone. And God had a plan with the Holy Ghost. He said, look, Holy Ghost, I'm going to only give you this much for this age because this is all I want them to know. I want the seed to go in the ground so it won't abide alone. I gotta make this thing last for 2,000 years. I got a body to build.
Yeah.
There's people that are going to be born in the 1900s and in the year 2000 that's going to need this revelation. Y'all, I need to stretch this word out a little bit.
Right.
I need to stretch it out and let it go in. So I'm only want you to reveal this much of the word.
That's right.
And the Holy Ghost is like, if that's all you want, okay.
Bam.
And then Satan, not knowing, he went out there with his dogmas and creeds, and he filled in all the holes. He put in all the darkness. But it's been God's plan the whole way. It's been God using the Holy Ghost the whole way. Brother Brown said the evidence of the Holy Ghost has been same in every age. Quickening the word to you for the age that you're living in. So God held back his revelation. And he let the word go into the ground.
Amen.
Because he said, unless the corn of wheat goeth in the ground, it abides alone.
Right.
And he didn't want this church to be alone with just Paul.
No.
He wanted to have a 7-course meal, a body of all ages.
Yeah.
And he wanted the falling away and a restoration.
Yeah.
There's things he wanted to fulfill.
Yeah.
Attributes he wanted to show. And to show those attributes, God had to hold back on his revelation.
Right.
Hold back on his revelation.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
But the whole time, the Holy Ghost was moving.
Yes.
Whatever God revealed, the Holy Ghost was quickened.
Yes.
Every time God would move, the Holy Ghost was quickened.
Oh,
right. Right. Yes. So there wasn't us losing the Word of God.
No.
It was part of God's plan the whole time.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's why I'm saying I'm looking at this thing a little bit different.
Amen.
I'm talking about this thing a little bit different. Now I'm looking at the job of the Holy Ghost, what it's really been doing for the last 2,000 years. In our thinking, we almost had it twisted around. I just talk about me. I know y'all had it right, but let me testify for a minute. Let me testify for a minute. Let me talk about me and what God's done for me. I'm seeing how the Holy Ghost has been the same in every age. I'm seeing how God held back his revelation during the ages so that he only had so much light allotted. But God knew the seed was going to go in, and God knew the seed was going to come out. God knew everyone that was going to be chosen. He knew the ones that the Holy Ghost was going to reveal himself to. He knew how much word you would receive. It's a different story than the church world tells you. This whole plan of redemption, all of that was part of that plan. The Holy Ghost was in on the plan.
Yeah, amazing grace.
Amen.
He said, as soon as you show him word, I'll quicken it. Whatever you give them, I'll show it unto them. And it got to Luther and said, just shall live by faith. Holy Ghost said. And the bride could not help but to receive it. She could not help but to see it. He said the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he's going to take of mine, my what? My word. And show it unto you. He showed Luther that one little piece. But that was all he needed. That was enough Holy Ghost for him to resurrect. He was predestinated, ordained. So was everyone in every age. God ain't just finding out who the bride is. God already knows who the bride is. God put a predestinated seed in you so that when your message, your part of the word, approaches you in the hour that you're living in, you can't help but to receive it. He already saw what you would do with the word. He already knew the hour that you're going to be living in. And he ordained a piece of himself for the hour that you were going to be in. And the Holy Ghost has been here the 2,000 years. Brother Branham said he's only been gone 10 days. The Holy Ghost has been here the whole time, quickening everything he can get his hands on. But only to his own. Nobody else can see him. Nobody else can understand it.
Amen.
Nobody, he'll only reveal it to his own.
My goodness.
Won't read it all, but Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus, we know the story. Peter, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, this was God's plan. This was not even Jesus' plan.
Right.
Oh, I'll let you think on that. This was God's idea. Jesus was a part of God's idea. You were a part of God's idea. He said, the Father in heaven revealed it unto you. But how does he reveal it? By the Holy Ghost. That's the revealing power of God. The Holy Ghost is the revealing power of God. He takes the word and reveals it to you. That's why Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. But my Father did this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Father's plan. This wasn't Jesus' plan. This was the Father's plan. But it was Jesus in the midst of the church age working it all out. When John looked at the seven churches, he saw the Son of Man right in the middle of it all. He's in the middle of it all. Because you can't get to God but by through Christ. You say, I thought we weren't Trinitarians. We're not. I'm still talking about one God. I'm still talking about the same God. It was God above us. It was God with us. And now it's God in us. Same God. The same God that manifested back there with Paul is the same one that messed and manifested all down through the ages and bringing the word and quickened to the bride each day. Same God. Same Holy Ghost. Same one. But it's all done by revelation. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my whole church on that. You can't even be in the church unless you get revelation. That's what puts you in. That's what proves who you are. When God reveals himself to you, thank God for revelation. Jesus said the rest of the world won't be able to see me, but you'll be able to see me. Lord, how are we going to be able to see you? By revelation. He will take of mine and show it, reveal it unto you. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. And that's what he's been doing the whole time.
Amen.
He's not changed his job. He ain't got better at it. He didn't pick up any new tricks that he's going to do better than he had before. It's been doing the same thing. The Holy Ghost has been doing the same thing for 2,000 years. All he did was show the word, show the word, show the word. But he only showed the part of the word that the Father's plan required. That's all he could do. That's all he was responsible for. The Bible said that Peter was an ignorant and unlearned man. He couldn't even sign his own name. But it pleased God to give him the keys to the kingdom. Because he had seen the Messiah and knowed his evidence and fell at his feet and recognized him as the Messiah. He believed the word. And thou art Peter, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Not upon Peter, not upon Jesus, but upon the spiritual revelation of who he was. Right. It's a revelation. That's what the church is built on. Yeah. It's a spiritual revelation. Yeah. It's always been a spiritual revelation. Yeah. When the word was going in under Martin, Martin only had so much word that he had revealed to him. Right. It wasn't Martin denying Paul. It was just all that was available for the hour that Martin lived in. And it still was a spiritual revelation. Amen. Same thing he did Abel. Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Both boys offered. Both boys prayed. Both boys built an altar. Both boys worshiped the same God, see? One was accepted and the other was turned down. Because by revelation, Abel saw it wasn't fruits or apples that brought us out of the Garden of Eden. It was blood. And he offered blood and God received it. See, it's by revelation that God's done everything. It's never been anything else. What the Holy Ghost has come to do is come to reveal the word in your life. Not to give you a bunch of head knowledge. Peter was unlearned. But it wasn't by his learning. And it won't be by your studies. It's going to be by revelation that you receive that. And that's the only way we're going to do it. It'll be by the Holy Ghost and you won't get it. You can sit in this church all day long. You can come to every service. You can amen every word. But if the Holy Ghost don't ever make this thing revealed to you, you can't go. I'm sorry. It's got to be preached. You got to get in the house. That's why I say get to the house. Yeah. You can't get this at home. No, I don't care how spiritual you think you are. No. You aren't as spiritual as you think you are because you're at home. Right. The Holy Ghost will get you to the house. Right. The proof that you have the Holy Ghost is you're going to gather where the children of God are. Amen. You say, but I got the Holy Ghost. The proof of it is look at your life.
Right. Where's
it taking you to? Anything that takes you away from the house of God is Satan. Anything that pulls you from the word of God is Satan. So where is your life leading you? Because remember, when he reveals himself, he quickens himself, and you and that quickening power become one and the same. You and that quickening power starts walking together. Start talking together. Start manifesting exactly what the mind of God is. Because we're only here to do thy will, O God. We're manifesting God just like Jesus did. Oh, you can tell the difference. You can see this. You can see God. You can see God. I can hear God. I can fellowship with God. See, but only the elect can do that. Nobody else can. They'll all have reasons why they can't see God. They have reasons why they can't come to church. They have reasons why they can't serve God. They have reasons. And usually the reason is you and me. We're the problem in their eyes. But it just tells me one thing. The Holy Ghost ain't dealing with you. Because the Holy Ghost, if he deals with you, he's going to lead you to the Word of God. Because the Holy Ghost can't quicken anything but the Word of God. The Holy Ghost in this hour that we're living in now is not going to lead you to a Trinitarian church. You say, well, the Holy Ghost led Luther. The Holy Ghost didn't lead Luther there. That wasn't Luther's word. Luther was a Trinitarian. Still believed in three gods. Still believed in the Pope. Still had a lot of wrong doctrines. Most of his work was wrong. But the one thing he had right, that little bit of light, the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And what did it do? It turned his life upside down. Turned the world upside down with one little scripture. You don't have to have it all. All you need is just a little bit of Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost in your life, and it will take you, and it'll turn this world upside down. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said here. Oh, well, before I said, let's go over it. And just, you don't have to go. I'll just read it. John chapter 1, verse 12. I don't want to skip this. But as many. See the Holy Ghost? Yeah. But as many as received him,
yes.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Only sons. Only the elected. They're the only ones that had the power. Only one that had the Holy Ghost. Only one that had the quickening power. Only those that can receive the word will he give that power to. Nobody else. You say, well, they're good people. Well, I'm sure they are. Oh, they're nice. Oh, I'm sure they're nice. Oh, they wear long dresses. Oh, I'm sure they do. Oh, the guys look, they never wear shorts. They wear long pants. The sleeves are down here. They're just perfect. They're just, you know, pristine. Just God would love them. Oh, that sounds good. But the question I have is he a son? Because if you're not a son, I don't care how good you live. I don't care how much this Bible you know. I don't care how much Brother Branham you can quote. If the Holy Ghost is impersonally revealing this thing to you, you cannot go. I know that's a little hard, but it's the truth. I don't want you all sitting here acting like you're churchy. I don't want you here acting like you're ready for the journey and not receiving the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to take the word and show it unto you. And when he shows it unto you, you and the word will become one and the same thing. Amen. If I say the Holy Ghost walks and the Holy Ghost gets in me, amen, I'm going to start walking. Amen. That's how you show it. You say, well, I believe this message, but I don't have nothing to do with it. Then you don't believe this message. I'm a part of this church, but you don't ever come when the church is doing nothing. You ain't a part of this church. You ain't involved at all. Nothing going on that even enthuses you about this church. Something's wrong with you. Amen. Something's wrong with you. Amen. Search the scriptures, for then in them you think you have eternal life. Mm. Amen. But when he come, expressed exactly like the Testament he said he would be expressed, then all those who was redeemable believed it. Think about that. All those who are redeemable. Everybody is not redeemable. Everybody can't be saved. People think this is open book for anybody who can come and get it. I'm sorry. I'm going to say some of y'all, because I'm looking at all of y'all as redeemable. But some people are not redeemable. It has no place in them. St. John 8. Why can't you hear my words? Even because it has no place in you. If the word has no place in you, then you are not redeemable. The Holy Spirit has no place to quicken the word in you. You can hear it all you want. Say you believe it all you want. Go to church all you want. Say you love God all you want. But if you are not redeemable, it has no place in you. The Holy Ghost's only job is to reveal the word. Take of mine and show it unto you. He can only show it to the redeemable. Amen. Nobody else. So why do we spend so much time fussing and fighting over it? If you can't see it, I'm sorry. If you can't, you just can't. It's just no, you can't put this puzzle piece. Have you ever had a puzzle and you had a piece that was out of another box? And you're putting a puzzle together, and you get down this last piece, and it's not shaped right. It doesn't look like a boat. It looks like a fire truck. It doesn't fit in there. I'm sorry. It doesn't belong in the puzzle. And that's the way people are who are not redeemable. They'll follow the word of God. They'll come close to the word of God. They'll come all the way up to the door and kiss it. But will never go all the way. Because it has no place in them. Amen. They all who it says it's then all those who was redeemable believed it. Because they were in the thoughts of God. The attributes of him at the beginning was made flesh and redeemable and was brought back to God. As many of them received him, gave you the power to become sons of God. Because they were redeemable. They were from the beginning in the expression. We're always a part of God. God included you. When God was laying this plan out, and he said, I'm going to give Paul this much word. I'm giving Irenaeus this much, Martin this much, Columba this much. Luther, I want to start restoring back because I only have so many months and years. And okay, give Luther a little bit more. Give Wesley a little bit more. We're going to restore the word back to the fullness. Get that there. Then he's got a group of people on the world, on the earth, that has the full word. That are redeemable. Amen. But you had to be part of the plan. You didn't stumble on this message. God picked you personally. You are redeemable. He already saw you in his mind. He's not worrying on whether you're going to go all the way. He already declared the end from the beginning. He already knows you. You would not even have received the Holy Ghost if you weren't going to go all the way. Let me put that out of your mind. If you got the Holy Ghost today, it's because God has already seen you believe this word all the way. You've always been redeemable. You've always been a son. Because ye are sons. He sends forth his spirit of adoption. He only adopts his own. He sends the Holy Ghost running after you. He brings the word and puts you right in the fountain. And then gives the Holy Ghost to you to quicken his word to you so that you can see that you are part of the word. Just keep on going. And right, just hang in there. Believe until. Until it happens. Just hang right in there until it happens. Don't give up. Drive your stake. Tell the devil he's got to go. I'm a believer this thing. I am redeemable. I don't know if y'all all seen it like this before, but I'm just drawing a little different picture here today. And I'm trying to draw it in such a way that you can understand that this whole thing has been the plan of God. Satan never did have anything to do with it. He never was a threat to God. He never made God afraid. It was God controlling the amount of word that the bride was going to receive. And when you look at it like that, now I can understand how the word went in. Now I understand how the bride. It wasn't that Columba didn't believe everything Paul preached. It just wasn't available. The Holy Ghost didn't have it all to quicken to him. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's speaking through him now. Jesus said, we're going to come and take our abode with you. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three of them moving in. He said, well, you're a Trinitarian. That's still one. That's a real oneness. That's still God. It's still the same God. Yes, he said, I and my Father are coming to take our abode with you. Now listen. Listen to this. I try to narrow things down, but I want you to see the picture. I don't want to cut so much out that you don't see what I'm trying to get across here. In the Evening Messenger, Brother Branham said, and the prophets, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, which was the Messiah, wasn't Paul, it was Christ. God in sundry times and divers manners spoken to the fathers through the prophets, in his last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1. Notice, the Holy Spirit, Christ-centered gospel, Christ-centered word, and if it is Christ-centered and been vindicated, God will vindicate it to be the truth. That's the reason you Pentecostal people receive the Holy Ghost in the faith of that method in the face of the Methodist sanctification, because you were exactly on the word. As you said, you stepped on the word.
Yeah.
See, it wasn't that the Methodists were wrong, but when the greater part of the word came, those Pentecostals stepped right into it. And he says, that's the reason you Methodists got sanctified when the Lutherans didn't believe it. You were on the word.
Right.
See, Luther was on the word.
Right.
And Brother Brown said Wesley was on the word.
Right.
And he said you Pentecostals were on the word. You say, well, how can it be on the word when the word, they didn't have all the word? He's talking about the word that was allotted for the Holy Ghost to quicken for the day that they were living in. They were on the word. Just as much as you were on the word, they were on the word. That's how you Lutherans got saved. Justified. Because your messenger preached justification. And protested the Catholic Church, which was an off-brand of all. They just believed in the church. You come back to the Bible, and you took the Bible truth and held to it. With that one little thing,
amen.
They held to the word of God that they had.
Amen.
And then along come Wesley,
yes,
with another truth and held to it.
Right.
Along came the Pentecostal with another truth,
right,
and held to it. See,
right,
each time the Holy Ghost was quickening the word that they got.
Yes.
Another truth and held to it. Then if you can hold to that and see it's right, why not take the whole thing that's been proved right? Believe it all. Why not take this next step? If they were okay in theirs.
In the world don't know nothing about what brother
not at all.
No.
Don't have a clue.
No.
Amen. Don't know what the Holy Ghost was sent for. It's come to quicken the word for your day.
Right.
It did it in Luther. It did it in Wesley. It did it in Pentecost,
yeah,
and is doing it today.
Yeah.
Now,
amen.
Acts chapter 2, don't go there and read it. Just let's look at it for a second.
Okay.
When those apostles and them went up to that upper room, they were scared. They were afraid. They didn't know what was going on. But they got in that upper room, and they start talking about the Old Testament scriptures and start talking about the scrolls. And they were sitting around talking to each other. And after a while, somebody got a revelation. Holy Ghost come down. And he took of his and started showing it unto them. And then there came a boldness. See, when you get the Holy Ghost, there's a boldness that come across you. You're no longer guessing. You're no longer trying to figure it out. You know what it is. You know that God has personally spoken to you. He's revealed himself to you, and nobody can take that away from you. And when they spoke in tongues, Peter boldly come out and told them exactly what was going on. And they snuck up steps, but they ran down. They were shy going in, but they were bold coming out. When we come to the mess of the hour, we're shy coming in trying to figure out what it is. But when the Holy Ghost, has got a hold of you and told you exactly what it meant and what it is, oh, you become bold.
Amen.
You're not afraid to tell Rabbi Jones anything then. You'll tell him, oh, yes, we've had a message. Yes, we've had a prophet. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. Yes, I'm going to be in a rapture. Yes, the dead are going to get up.
Amen.
Yes, we're in the last day. Yes, this is the mess of the hour. That's what and that only happens after the Holy Ghost quickens it to you.
Yes.
You're right, Lord. You're right.
Amen.
Wow.
Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, how do you know that? God had already seen it. He knew there was going to be a restoration.
Right.
He knew there was going to be a dispensation when all this is going to be wrapped up in the fullness of time.
That
he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in on earth, even in him. Everything that was in him. It's going to be a real oneness.
Amen.
And this real oneness is going to include all of us, the bride body. The Holy Ghost is doing what he was supposed to do all the way through.
He never changed his mind about his word. He never changed anything about what he was trying to do. Now, let me get over here. I want to read something here. I hit something, everything went haywire. I went haywire. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said down here. And calling Jesus on the scene. Said, then God, all that God was, he poured into Jesus. And all that was in Jesus, he poured into his church. Divided himself on the day of Pentecost. That pillar of fire come down and busted itself up, Shekinah glory, and put it in different ones. Tongues of fire were seen upon each one. The Holy Spirit, God, identifying himself in humans, in human beings. Amen. So see, here God was bringing himself down one by putting the Holy Ghost in such a condition that when the word comes on the scene, the Holy Ghost just quickens. That's all he's doing, just quickening. He's just waiting on some word to come. And as soon as the word comes, he quickens it. Now, this is what Brother Branham said in the Easter Seal. He said, it's the Holy Spirit today hunting out honest hearts that will believe the message. Everything in the Bible that was promised is to the believer. And when you accept it in its fullness, and God knows that you'll do it, he gives you the abstract to that. And then every promise that was made is in your possession. And the Holy Spirit is there to quicken that to you. Do you hear who's doing the quickening? Oh my, what kind of a people should we be? How wonderful to see God's great Holy Spirit here to do that power. Think of it. When the Holy Ghost itself here to bear record of the hour, Jesus said so, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Ghost is quickening the word as quick as it can happen, as quick as it can. Now, we talked about that corn of wheat. I'm not even going to go there. In John chapter 12, verse 24, corn, unless it falls in the ground, it abides alone. All that was a part of God's plan. All of it, even this falling away, the church falling away, that was not by accident. Brother Brennan said the first Eve was ordained to go in. The second Eve was ordained to go up. So it was, none of this is by chance. None of this is by accident. Every bit of it. We look at this great falling away and we almost want to blame Satan and said, oh, he ruined the work of God. This is the work of God. Amen. The whole seven church age bright body that he was building, it's been him building it the whole time by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's always been his job. The Holy Ghost has come to quicken every bit of the word that God had for the hour that we're living in. Now, listen to what he said. It's just like a seed of a morning glory, the seed of a flower. It falls into the ground. The seed of corn falls into the ground. What is the first thing? It comes up, and it's a little sprout. Then it goes to the tassel. Then from tassel, it's back to the original grain. Well, that's exactly what the church has done. It's come through Luther, Wesley, and now back to the original grain. Back to the original glory. Back to the glory it was at the beginning. The sun that rose in the east, it's the same sun that manifests the same in the west, changing from glory to glory. It changed from the pagan down into Luther. Listen to the glory changing. It changed from the pagan down into Luther, and from Luther down into Wesley, and from Wesley out into Pentecost, and on, changing from glory to glory, producing the hidden manna. Producing, manifesting the hidden manna. It's been God doing all of this. It was him doing it. It was God and Luther, God and Wesley, God and Martin. We almost don't even want to talk about the first four because we think they're failures. We think if God had been with them, the word wouldn't have gone in. No. God is the only quickener of the word, and that was all that was allowed. Irenaeus was just as strong as Luther on what he believed.
Don't forget the first four. Think, oh, that's the word going in. That was going in because God allowed it, but it was still the revelation that God quickened to the hour that they were living in. He got every bit of them. Well, that's exactly what your church has done. It's come from Luther, Wesley, and now back to the original grain, back to the original glory, back to the glory it was from the beginning. The sun rose in the east. It's the same sun that manifests the same in the west, changing from glory to glory. And now it's ripe to bring him back again, exactly like he was in the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same one that come down on the day of Pentecost. It's the same Holy Ghost that manifested today from glory unto glory to glory. And is back to the original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the same sign, same wonder, same baptism, same kind of people, acting the same way, with the same power, the same sensation. It's from glory unto glory, and the next will be changed from this glory in a body like into his own glorious body, where we shall see him. Abraham saw the same. God's been doing this all the way through. It's all been God. What the Holy Ghost was given for, it was given to quicken the word for the day that you're living in. Now, I'm going to say this one little thing, and then I'm going to close. If the Holy Ghost was here to quicken the little part of the word for the day that they were living in, what do you think he's going to do in the fullness? And I was thinking about this last night. I said, you know, we're always talking about the body change, the rapture. You know how that's going to happen? That same Holy Ghost that's quickened everything down through every age. That same Holy Ghost who quickened the word to you up to this point. One of these days, that same Holy Ghost is going to quicken the body change. It is here. It is ready. All he's waiting is for the nod of God to say, it's time. It's not that we have to do something. People always think, they think we got to do something, got to bring something, got to produce something. No, 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 no. It's already spoken. Now let it manifest. The same Holy Ghost that saved you is the same Holy Ghost that's responsible for your body change. We almost think it's something we got to do. Something we've got to bring. Something we've got to offer. But it's the same quickening power that quickens your first revelation is the same quickening power that will quicken your last revelation. Well, if that's all true, and it is, then what's left? All we're doing is ripening in the sun. We come to the house of God, God quickens the word. I'm telling you, I said, I've seen this like I've never seen it. And I've seen it for 40 years. But it's in God's timing. Just like your body change. It's God's timing. We've been talking about the body change as long as we've been in a message. But it's not quickened yet. But it's just that same job of the Holy Ghost to quicken that. As he has quickened everything else to us. Amen. It's the quickening power of God. Brother Branham talked about it being rapturing faith. Yes. It's a rapturing revelation. This bride, she knows what it is. We're ripening in his presence. We're right in the presence of the Son. Satan's lost his hold. He can't get us. He's not even in the picture at all now. Now we're just standing in the presence of the Lord, just looking at his word, looking at his promises. And every time he gives us another revelation, we thank you for it and step out on it. He gives us another revelation. We come back to church and get another revelation. Step out on it. You think, well, I don't feel like we're making any progress. Look at where you've been for 5 years. Look at where you were a year ago. Look at where you were 6 months ago. Look at where you were last week. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost moving in your life. Amen. You're the moving, walking, talking manifestation of the Word of God. And now you know what it is. When she'll go. Yeah. When the last one gets where it needs to be, as she could already be sitting here. But it's when God gets ready. So don't fret, little bride, thinking, oh, this world's getting out of time. They're asking me in the Philippines, oh, it's getting so bad. Do you think we got to go? They're asking about Armageddon and Gog and Magog and trying to get the things in order, trying to figure out what's going to happen. Are we going to see California going? And they're all nervous. I'm like, don't worry about it. God's taking his bride to the palace. So you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to worry about everything. He'll fulfill that like he's done every other scripture. He'll reveal that like he's revealed everything else. That is the job of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Holy Ghost ain't through yet.
No.
As long as we're here, he's going to be revealing.
Amen.
Every service we have, he'll be revealing.
Amen.
Everything we pick up, we'll pick up. And we're getting a little bit more closer, and a little bit more closer,
yes.
and a little bit more closer
yes.
to that body change.
Yes.
Yes. And that body change job is in the hands of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Good hand.
As soon as he gets the nod from the Father, he ain't gonna hesitate. He ain't hesitate on any other revelation. Any other revelation you got to, he didn't hold back on it. You sat down the bench and actually, you know, you didn't know, and then you know. That's how the rapture's gonna happen. You're not gonna know, then you know. The moment in the twinkling of an eye. It's gonna happen so fast, you won't even have time to take a breath. But it's just another revelation. It is no harder for God to bring the body change than it was for him to bring your soul change.
Amen.
And it's going to happen the same way. Just that simple. What's the Holy Ghost given for? The quickening of his word. If he quickened them in their part word, how much more will it quicken us with the full word? That's why healing is ours.
Yes.
We don't worry about it. We ask for it. We believe it. He'll quicken that. Body change is ours. He'll quicken it. Dead getting up is ours. He'll quicken it. All he wants us to do is let the Holy Ghost have its way with us. Quit fighting him. Just let him have it. He'll reveal it as time as you need it. I never got one revelation that I didn't need. And everything I needed is always right on time. And I've been sitting here for 40 years looking at this. And it finally in my head finally got straightened out.
Amen.
And it's right on time. You know why it's right on time?
Because
I need to understand this so I don't look at this and think, oh, God, I'm sorry. We messed things up.
Right.
No, I'm looking now saying it's a perfect bride.
Yes.
It's a perfect plan.
We know who we're getting up.
And we know.
Come on. Yes.
And that is this day. Brother Branham said, what day is that? He says it was that day and this day.
Right.
We know. God's been good to us. The Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If he hasn't quickened himself to you, he can. It's not too late. You follow his prescription and it will be yours. That's how simple that is. You say, well, I've never been baptized. He's never spoke to me. He's never quickened his word to me. Follow his prescription. Because he said, ye shall receive. But it's only for those who see him. If you can't see him, you can baptize yourself 100 times forward and 100 times backwards. And you still won't see him. You can come to church every service, sing every song, learn them by heart, and you still won't see him. It takes a Holy Ghost to reveal who God is. No man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost, by revelation. What's the Holy Ghost given for? To give you a clear understanding of the revelation of God's word. And you and God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost are one. Different jobs, but all one.
How blessed these pilgrims are.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for your word. Lord, I don't even have words. I don't think I can't draw the picture bright enough for the people to see it. I can't express it in the way that I see it in myself. And Lord, I do the best I can, but it's not my job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to quicken it to the people. Ask you to do so, Lord. Help us to appreciate what you've done in your plan and how it included so much. And we're so privileged to be able to understand it. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the seven ages. Thank you for the messengers. Thank you for your plan of redemption that included us. Thank you for sending us the Holy Ghost. So it's done exactly what you said in St. John 14 it was going to do. We're a witness of that, standing here today, 2,000 years later, that you were correct in what you said he was going to do. He was going to take of yours and show it on us. And Lord, it's been totally revealed to us in this hour. You've come and ripped the seals open. You've shown us everything. And now this bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. And we're thankful for Father being able to see this thing with clear understanding. Thank you for what you've done, Father. Thank you for an ear to hear. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, quickening power of God, moving in the body. Bless this congregation, Lord. I appreciate their efforts and their love for your word and their sacrifices they make. I ask you to just continue to speak to our hearts until we get to that day that you do quicken that body change to us. And Lord, we'll even learn on the other side. You'll be quickening things to us all the time. But Lord, as for now, Lord, just let us appreciate how you've used that Holy Ghost to quicken your word to this bride and she become the moving, walking, talking bride of Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. It's good to be able to see what we see. Yeah.
I was sitting there this morning and showing how God works. I didn't get a chance to testify, but you know, this opportunity right now. The Holy Spirit is a great thing because, you know, I listened to Pastor Moore's ministry back in the Philippines, and he was saying that you can have the most profound preacher, but he can't give it to you.
Mm-mm.
If God's not there, God's not there. It's as simple as that. And we wonder why people walk away. Well, because God's not there.
Right.
I beat myself over the head, and I was like, why is this person leaving? You know what? I don't even think about it anymore. You know what? Because it's no place in you at all. It's as simple as that. I mean, we can sit there and cry the blues and this and that and the third, but you know what? They'll be there. They'll be
That's
there
right.
because of us. We can stand in the gap for them. But I thank God that I have something in me. I can speak for myself. I thank God that God talks to me.
That's the truth.
I mean, it's a blessing. Mommy and Daddy didn't give this to me. God gave this to me.
Amen.
That's why I keep coming here Sunday and Wednesday when I get up daily. That's why I bring my sorry carcass here because I need this. I need this. I want to get through this life as much as I can. And you cannot make it without this word. You just can't. You're fooling yourself. You can think you can wake up this world without God. You're stupid. I'm just going to say it how it is. You're dumb. You cannot make
it. That's pretty straight.
You cannot make it. I thank God for that. I thank God for that Holy Ghost is just quickening to me. I do. I don't have to sit there and wonder what the ministry is preaching and stuff like that. I don't doubt it.
Mm-mm.
I don't doubt it. God is God. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for this message. I mean, it hit me hard just sitting there thinking like, you know what? This is real. This ain't a game.
Uh-uh.
It's not. I mean, this is real life right here. And this is life or death. Simple as that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I just thank God.
Amen. Amen. We'll walk in the light. That's what we've done. That's what we're doing. And that's what we will do.
Amen.
How do you know that? Because the Holy Ghost is here. Any revelation that God has, I am ready for it.
Amen.
And as soon as he opens it up, oh, that Holy Ghost will quicken it to us so fast. I'll walk right into that. Amen. Don't forget, come back tonight at 7 o'clock. I hope it makes sense to you. I try to put it in words that you can understand. I don't I feel like I do a poor job of it sometimes. I'm like, can't you see what I'm talking about? Oh my. We're a blessed group of people to know what we know. He's been so good to us. Amen. We're walking the light. It's such a beauty for life. Come where the new drops of mercy are bright. It shines all around us by day and by night. For it's Jesus, light of a beautiful